Hey, thanks for joining us here at South Reno United Methodist Church, where we love God, love people, and make disciples. If you have any questions or want to know more about us as a church, you can always check us out online by going to southrenoumc.org. With that being said, let's go to this week's lesson.
So we're in the second week of looking at uncertain. How do we live with courage and hope? We've been talking about some of the hurdles and challenges that people have, we have, in our faith journey. You know, there are a lot of people, and I think all of us at some point in our lives, as we grow in our faith, and something happens. There's some hurdle, there's some challenge that keeps us from totally believing. The argument that I made last week and will for these 4 weeks is that there are so many people that aren't rejecting the true God, they're rejecting a false understanding or a distorted understanding of who God is. And so last week we talked about the on-demand God, that somehow God is like the cosmic Coke machine, the genie in the sky, that you know, we say and do these things and we get whatever we want. God's here to serve us versus we're here to serve God. In the coming weeks, we'll talk about the killjoy God, the God that has all these rules so we can't really have any fun at all in life. And then we'll talk about the hardest one, which is the heartless God. The heartless God. Why would God, if he has a heart, God has a heart, create evil? Why would there be evil in the world? Why would there be violence? Why would there be disease? But we're going to talk today about what I think is a little more fun. Maybe you won't, but we're going to talk about what, call it the goosebump God. The goosebump God. You know, today we're going to talk about feeling God's presence. You know, I want to believe, but I just don't feel God. No, you've heard it before. You've seen it before. It's happened to you. You hear of people that hear a word from the Lord, whatever the language semantics may be, and you're going, not me. I want to believe, but I just don't feel it. I don't feel God's presence all the time. And that really gets us to the text this morning that Randy read for us out of John 14. You know, this the setting is probably the most tender scene in all of the Gospel of John. This is the night before the cross where Jesus is bidding farewell to his friends. You know, these followers that have forsaken their families, their homes, and their friends for 3 years and followed him wherever he went. And now he's telling them he's going away. But he says something. He says, I'm going to give you a gift. I'm going to give you a gift in the person of the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that's been at work in me, Jesus, will now be at work in you. And he will actually be able to continue to guide and instruct and comfort you. In fact, he will live in you and complete in you everything that I've started. And that sets up our dilemma, because the same gift that was given to the disciples then and the followers is given to disciples and followers today. So if that's the case, how come I don't feel God's presence, that Spirit, that Holy Spirit that works in me? You know, I read the Bible and nothing happens. Or when others are singing, I'm seeing that they have tears in their eyes and they just sense God's presence, and I'm sitting there going, Huh? Sounds good. Or when you pray, maybe you just don't feel that God is listening. I want to believe, but I just don't feel it. I don't hear it. I don't see it. You know, you've been in a small group or a setting, maybe where somebody's shared a prayer, you know, hey, you can't believe what happened to me. I pulled into this parking lot and it was full and I prayed for a parking spot and drove right up to the front and there it was. So you try it. Doesn't work. Or maybe it's a family member who's got a job and you pray that they'll get a raise or a new promotion, and so-and-so did this and they got it. They didn't get anything. No raise, no promotion. Or maybe you have a grandchild or a son or a daughter or a friend's family member that is trying to get into a scholarship at a college. And so you hear that they prayed about it. They had their prayer group and their prayer chain praying about it. And guess what? They got in. And so you pray. And they have a hard time getting into community college. What's up? What's up? How do you and I live through those situations? Now, I'm going to ask you a question. Have you ever felt the presence of God? If you have, just raise your hand. Don't be weird. I mean, it's not weird. I'm not going to ask you to stand up and share it. Okay, many of you. Have you felt the presence of God here today? Yeah. How do you know? How do you know if God's presence is here? Do you get this tingly feeling? Do you tear up? Do you have a sense of peace? Well, here's what I can tell you. You can get a tingly feeling by sitting next to your spouse or your boyfriend or girlfriend. So, what's up? Or how about this? God's presence can make you cry. Well, so can a good YouTube video. Or God's presence will bring you a sense of peace. Well, so will soft lighting, soothing music, and maybe a massage. So here's my question as we continue in this. If you don't feel God today or here this morning, whose fault is that? Is it God's fault? Is it your fault? Is it my fault? Is it Albina's fault? Is it Judy and the choir's fault? So we ask this question and really make this statement. Here it is. If you don't always feel God's presence, quite honestly, you're not alone. All of us have times when we don't feel God's presence. The writer of Psalm 88 put it this way. He said, "But I cry to you for help, Lord. In the morning, my prayer comes before you. Why, Lord, do you reject me and hide your face from me?" David, Psalm 23, "Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you know much about Paul, the Apostle Paul. You know that once he was knocked off the horse and blinded, you know, most scholars would say he wandered for 3 years, not really doing much of anything, not even sure what to do, and then another 14 years of making tents before he really started the ministry that we now think of. And how about Jesus? Who walked through his entire life with a sense of God's presence, but on the cross, cries out, God, why have you forsaken me? Many of you know the author C.S. Lewis. He wrote during one of the most painful times of his life about crying out to God. And here are his exact words. I sensed a door slammed in my face and the sound of bolting and double bolting on the inside. And after that, silence. He went on to say, there appeared to be no lights in the windows. It appeared to be an empty house. Was it ever really inhabited? It seemed so once. Why is God present as a commander in our life during times of prosperity and so very absent a help in times of trouble? Why don't we always feel God's presence? So I'm going to posit three different understandings or what I think fit for us. And the first is this, that maybe we oversensitize the whole idea of God's presence. What I mean is, we find ourselves like the disciples that said, give us a sign, you gave manna in the desert. We want to know, kind of like, da-da, this is it. We over-sensationalize it. This is what they said. So they asked Jesus, what sign then will you give that we may see it and believe it? So you have to see a sign to believe? What will you do? Our ancestors ate manna in the wilderness, that is, it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. You and I do the same thing. We can do it very quickly. I remember was in a youth group, not here, just to solve that problem. This one young teenage girl said, you know, I'm not sure if I should break up with my boyfriend or not. So I opened my Bible and I went like this, thinking that that's how I'd get the answer. I said, well, what were you doing, trying to get rid of the economy class boyfriend for a business class boyfriend? What are you doing? Or maybe it's the, you know, those games where you spin the arrows to get an answer or an eight ball or whatever. Really? We over-sensationalize it. God doesn't always reveal himself in that way. I don't know about you, but there have been times in my life where I felt him. I can count him on one hand, maybe two. And you would think that there would be these real spiritual times that it would happen. Like when I graduated seminary, 3 years of all this training and time studying about God, and I was so numb because we had to pack and leave to drive back to California. It was just a process to go through. Another time was ordination as a deacon. You know, when I went through the system, you were ordained as a deacon, you were on probation. Well, at that point, it had already been 6 years. 3 years of study at seminary, 3 years of interviews, 3 years of serving in a church. I was numb. I didn't sense the heavens opening up and a dove coming down and saying, this is Craig, of who I'm well pleased. No. Sometimes you might feel God and his presence, God's presence, and other times you won't. I mean, here's the reality. We over-sensationalize those times and what it will be like. Because if you always felt God's presence, it really wouldn't be called faith now, would it? But that's the first. The second is, maybe your heart has been hardened
This is going to be the harder one.
Maybe your heart has been hardened.
Matthew 13 says, you will be ever hearing but never understanding. You will be ever seeing but never perceiving. For this people's heart has become calloused. They hardly hear with their ears, and they have closed their eyes. Our brokenness, you know, that S word, sin, that can separate us, that can harden our heart, close off our ears. Maybe it's envy. Maybe it's lying. You know, just a small white lie to begin with. Maybe it's gluttony. Maybe it's laziness. Maybe it's gossip. Then, of course, there are those big ones like pornography and adultery and all those. But they harden our hearts. And we can't hear God. We can't see what God's doing. Now, how many of you wore a jacket this morning when you came in? You know, some type of coat, maybe some gloves, a hat. And why do you do that? Keep yourself warm, right? To protect yourself from the cold. Same thing happens when we begin to take on that brokenness. It begins to harden and protect us. I don't really like the word protect us. Separate us from being able to hear and see and understand that God's presence is here always. So I asked you earlier, whose fault is it if you don't sense God's presence here this morning? Here's what I'd like to share with you, just a brief picture here. And hopefully it doesn't pass too quickly. Do you prepare to come to worship? And I don't mean clean up, freshen up, put on good clothes. I mean, do you prepare? Do you expect to hear from God here? Do you expect to see from God? Did you get a good night's sleep so you don't fall asleep in the middle of everything? Have you prepared your heart? Have you been praying for those of us that are leading in the service and serving? Do you take notes so you can remember? Do you discuss the message with people afterwards? Do you encourage someone while you're here? That's how we prepare ourselves, so that we can begin to hear and have a sense of what God is doing. Because church is more than a performance. It's God's people gathered to celebrate God's presence here with us. So then we come to the third one. Maybe in the midst of this, it's not that you've over-sensationalized hearing from God, and maybe you've been working on confession and working those things out of your life. Then maybe it's number three. Maybe God wants to draw you closer and in a deeper relationship. For one man, God made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times and histories and boundaries for their lands. God did this so that they would seek him and perhaps reach out for him and find him, though he's not far from any one of us. You've heard that phrase, absence makes the heart grow fonder. Or maybe familiarity breeds contempt. Or maybe fear of losing something makes you want it more. Maybe God wants to draw you closer. Wants to use the challenging times, the hard times, the suffering to produce the best in your life and the world around you. I don't know about you, what happens? Some of you may have been joining me on Friday mornings and fasting. Here's what happens. If I fast at a meal, I get hungry even more. Well, maybe that sense of God's absence is trying to draw you the same thing, same way. Because here's what happens for me. Emptiness makes me ask questions. Desperation makes me seek. And silence. Silence makes me want to knock on the door. Say, God, what are you doing? God wants us to pursue God's presence. So it really comes down to this. If you always felt God's presence, it really wouldn't be called faith. And just because God is silent doesn't mean God is absent. Jeremiah 29, I flashed through it quickly. It's in your notes. Says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart, and I will be found by you. How do we experience God? Well, don't over-sensationalize it. Make sure there's nothing separating you from God. And then seek to draw closer. Let's pray. Gracious God, today we pray that as a church full of people who long to be in your presence, that we would be increasingly aware, whether we feel it or not, that you will never leave us. You will never forsake us. You are always with us. And you are always good. I pray, God, that if we ever over-sensationalize it, that you give us the power to see the goodness in those everyday moments, and that you might use our spouse, our friends, and others to speak to us. Yes, there may be an audible voice, or there might be writing on a wall, or an angel from heaven, or maybe just a sunrise, a sunset, the beauty of creation. God, I pray today a very heartfelt prayer for those who may be missing you because of the buffer of sin. God, I'm aware of this because of my own life. Those things in my life that block my intimacy with you. I pray, God, that there would be no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. But with a purity of heart, we would deal with this. We confess it to you. And we find forgiveness and healing. God, I thank you in a moment, as you forgive our sins, that intimacy can be restored. Restore us, O God, to the joy of our salvation. Just as David said, create a clean heart in us. And lastly, God, I pray that there would be times where we would sense you drawing us closer to you, creating a hunger and a thirst to pursue you. Because of your great love for us. Fact is, may we be reminded that you're crazy about us, so much so that you sent your only son, your firstborn son, so that we would find our way home. So that whoever calls upon your name can be saved, forgiven, transformed, and made new. That's the power of the Holy Spirit in us. And you've been doing that since the dawn of creation. And so we say thank you. And we ask that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing our closing hymn. Would you receive this blessing? Lord, send us from this place, filled afresh with your Holy Spirit, that the light of Jesus may shine brightly through us and the love of God be reflected to all that we meet as we go on our way.
In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, go in peace. Amen.
As a church, it is our honor to play a small part in all that God is doing in and through your life. And we would like to continue with you on that journey. To find out what your next step could be in your relationship with Christ, all you have to do is go to southrenoumc.org/next. After all, here at South Reno, we are all helping you become the person God created you to be.